another missed opportunity for the Rebels last weekend, a 27-20 loss at Arkansas State. This is the Rebel Room to break down the game and look ahead to Mountain West Conference play. I'm Case Kiefer, joined as always by Ray Brewer and Mike Grimala. Mike was in Jonesboro for the Rebels' loss. You know, it comes down to me. They had a chance for a game-winning drive at the end of a game in a close game, the kind of drive that I think you expect good teams and winning teams to make, and really didn't gain any yards on it and fell to that loss. Mike, what were your takeaways from being there?
The biggest thing that's coming out of this game is Armani Rodgers and his ability to throw the ball. And after what we saw on Saturday night, you've got to question whether he can pass the ball at a level that will allow UNLV to make it to a bowl game, because 5 of 21 is not going to cut it, even though they, you know, they were in the rain and the conditions weren't great. But they've got to do better than 5 of 21. You can't win games that way. And, I mean, Armani, he's never been the most accurate passer. It's not the best part of his game. He's always been around 50%, you know, last year and the first three games this year. You know, he's always around 50%. There were just too many missed passes, too many passes that were not catchable or even did not give the receivers a chance to even make a play. It's hard to win when you can't move the ball through the air at all. And that's what we saw on the final drive. They got the ball with some time left. And, you know, they could have mounted, you know, that last second drive, which we've seen Armani do before, but it was just, you know, four uncatchable balls and game over.
Yeah, I think obviously an upgrade in competition after, you know, two pretty convincing wins for UNLV, and some of the weaknesses were exposed. We're leaving the game wondering if Rodgers is the guy to drive the bus to get UNLV to the bowl game, right? There's no doubting his running ability. There's no doubting his physical ability. But we were worried about his passing during that first scrimmage, if you remember, in August at Sam Boyd Stadium. And the numbers he put up against – listen, Arkansas State's a decent mid-major team, a above-average mid-major team, but they're not great, is startling. I think the special teams play is startling as well. UNLV in the Sanchez era has yet to have a kick or punt return for a touchdown. I can't even remember them having somebody who's back there that would be impactful in the return game. And then we saw in one of the turning points of the game, a fumble and a really inopportune time deep in UNLV territory by Brandon Presley, which was kind of the proverbial nail in the coffin.
That's what Sanchez pointed to after the game. You know, even with the struggles in the passing game and the three interceptions and all the mistakes that were made there, the thing he said in the post game was, you know, that special teams turnover, it led to, they fumbled a punt at the 2-yard line. Arkansas State got it. They scored on the very next play. When you lose by 7 points and you just give away an easy touchdown on special teams, that's hard to swallow. And, I mean, it is getting to the point where special teams is, I mean, it's right up there with the passing game, maybe even more so, because I mean, second week in a row that they fumbled a punt and lost possession. Third week in a row that they've mishandled a punt. Presley, I don't think he's long for that job. He's the guy who's mishandled those three punts the last 3 weeks. And then it's in his head. I've got to believe he's thinking about it, just because after the fumbled punt, Arkansas State scored a touchdown. Then they kicked off, and Presley was back to return the kickoff, and he dropped that ball as well. He was able to pick it up, but then UNLV got pinned in at the 15-yard line. It's a mess back there, and it's one thing to not get touchdown returns. As you said, they haven't returned a punt in 18 years. It's one thing to not get, you know, great field-flipping punt and kick returns. It's another thing entirely to have them actively hurting you and giving away possessions and giving away touchdowns. They've got 2 weeks before the start of conference play. They've got to work in someone else in the return game, someone that they can trust to catch the ball at least, to make fair catches. And because Presley was not even returning that ball. He called for a fair catch and then misplayed it into the fumble. So they've got to get someone back there they trust that can, if not return them, at least fair catch them and field them cleanly.
Has it really been that long? Because for some reason, I remember in the Hauk era against Colorado State, or maybe the Samford era, and maybe that was 18 years ago, against Colorado State, they had a kick return. Maybe it was a kickoff.
Punt return.
I'm saying punt return.
Punt return. So that must have been a kickoff return. Either way.
And punts are more dangerous. Punts are where you see the majority. If you looked at a chart of where turnovers occur in football, you would see, compared to how many plays are actually made, punts are far and away the most, you know, turnover prone play in all of football. Like, you're, it's so risky that you really need someone you can trust back there with, you know, returning kicks, especially when it's, you know, inside your own 10-yard line. So they've got to find someone to do that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it goes, you know, listen, the Rebels are 2-2. The passing game's not that great right now. Let me ask you this question, Kermala. Is there a problem also at wide receiver?
Yes.
Okay. So is it all Rodgers' fault that he's 6 for 21, or is it some of the guys aren't getting open, or they just can't catch the ball?
5 for 21.
Sorry, I gave him
giving him an extra completion.
It's mostly on Armani Rodgers, because a lot of the passes he was throwing were not catchable at all. But there is some, the receivers have not played well this year, I don't think, or at least not up to my expectations. I thought they had a pretty good group coming into the season, but we haven't seen any of those guys really break out or make a name for themselves. It hasn't been a lot of separation in one-on-one battles. There were a couple of plays, I went back and rewatched the game, there were a couple of plays where Armani Rodgers, you know, gave his receivers chances to make a play on the ball one time down the field, which would have been a big gain, where I thought the receiver, you know, didn't really, it was a Mekhi Stevenson on a deep ball, had one-on-one position, inside position down the seam, and he just didn't fight for the ball, and the defensive back knocked it away. Later in the fourth quarter, they had a play on the sideline where the receiver could have made a play with his feet in bounds, but couldn't make it happen. So it's a combination of both. Armani definitely gets most of the credit / blame because he's the quarterback, and you know that comes with a job, and he's not throwing a lot of good passes right now. But the receiving core has not played well, and that's another issue. They're not helping him out. Like, they're not making his job any easier.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned them all by now, but a total of 4 turnovers, and basically was 5 with the strip sack at the end of the game. So definitely a lot of concerns there. I guess on the bright side, I mean, you do only lose by a touchdown. They were still in the game despite all the mistakes. So I guess you could see some improvement there. And if you're being the eternal optimist, 2-2 is where they're supposed to sit right now going into the Mountain West. I think anything else would have been a bonus. Of course, an underdog in this game and in USC, and they beat up the 2 teams they were supposed to be. I just think, you know, we've kind of been using that a lot, though, every game, discounting, like, this is what was supposed to happen. I think now, finally, though, we have a huge game. They have 2 weeks to prepare for it, but against New Mexico, all of a sudden, I mean, you absolutely have to win this game for your bowl hopes. You have Utah State on deck, who looks like they have the best team of the Matt Wells era. You don't think they have much of a I wouldn't think they have much of a chance, at least, going there. So this New Mexico game, to me, becomes essential.
Yeah, it really does. And fortunately for UNLV, they could open league play against New Mexico at home, which checks off 2 boxes, a beatable team and a beatable venue. And they're, you know, as long as they're hovering around 500 the whole way through, this is going to come down to the end of the season and how the Rebels are playing and if they're healthy enough towards the end of the year. I thought that if they could somehow swing this one and go 3-1, now all of a sudden you got a lot of chances. You could kind of, you know, even step off the ledge a little bit. But at 2-2, everything kind of has to go as scripted to get those 4 victories. Obviously, Utah State is going to be a tough one. San Diego State's going to be a tough one. Reno's scoring in bunches, but they can't defend anybody. So who knows what to make of that one. But you would hate going into that last game of the year at 5-6 needing to beat Reno to get to a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to plot out the wins and the losses, you know, 8 weeks ahead, this is one of those, you know, 2 or 3 games that you are really counting on in order to get UNLV to 6 wins. That's why the Arkansas State game was so important. It was a team of, you know, equal caliber, on equal footing. You win that game and you're ahead of pace and you can pretty much guarantee, or at least you feel good about your bowl chances and you can start to think about a really successful season. Now you've sort of... In his press conference last week, Tony Sanchez was asked, is this Arkansas State game, is this a make-or-break game? And it sort of drew a laugh from the room because obviously it wasn't. But now, you know, you're 2-2, and you've got a New Mexico team that you absolutely should beat at home. And I wouldn't say, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a make or break game, but if you drop this one, you're 2-3, going to Utah State, staring at 2-4. This is kind of close to a make or break, like it's kind of close to a must-win game if you're looking at the grand scheme of the schedule you're trying to plan 8 weeks ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's what I was getting at. I'm the ultimate, and I argue with Brewer about this all the time, that, you know, don't overreact to one game. One game doesn't mean that much, but this just feels huge. I mean, we know how much hinges on this season. We know UNLV is a lot better than New Mexico, and we know that they had an opportunity to win this game and just made mistakes that teams aren't supposed to make when they're in this opportunity. So I just, this is one scenario where I don't think it can be overstated, the importance of this. Looking ahead a little bit to that game, since there's a week between then, I mean, what does UNLV need to be looking at, what working on in practice? What, you know, where do they kind of need to make sure they're sharper in New Mexico, other than the obvious answer of the passing game, since it's averaged a whopping 1 yard per attempt, I think, against Arkansas State?
Yeah, passing game, special teams, the turnovers are the huge thing. The thing that, if you want to be an optimist, that's been above expectations and you can at least take some solace in, is the defense has outperformed expectations by a wide margin. So you look pretty good on that side of the ball. And it's a defense I think can match up with a lot of these teams in the Mountain West. You know, they're not going to play great. They're going to get into some shootouts. They're not perfect, but I think the defense has played very well to this point. It's special teams is the biggest thing in my mind. You've got 2 weeks to clean it up. They've got to come up with some answers there. Armani Rogers is more of a season-long thing in the passing game, so that's not as a black and white of an issue as something like special teams where you just need someone to catch the ball. But the defense has been good.
Yeah, I'd say the thing with Rogers is, if you're New Mexico and you know that UNLV could beat you with Lex and with Armani, then why don't you load up more on the box and let your DBs go one-on-one with UNLV's wideouts? And now I think teams may try to force him to pass, which seems like it's a good idea at this point.
Well, this is something Tony Sanchez has talked about. I've asked him about it before in the running game. We've seen teams take different approaches. Some teams like to crowd the line of scrimmage and get 7 or 8 bodies right up on the line. Some teams like to stay back, you know, play with a looser box and keep their linebackers deeper and more spread out in their advantages and disadvantages. When you've got 8 or 9 guys up at the line of scrimmage, all it takes is one hole or one seam, and all of a sudden Lexington Thomas is behind your entire defense, and that play's going for a touchdown. So some teams like to get aggressive. I thought Arkansas State played aggressively. They came towards the line of scrimmage on every play, and they were able to hold Lexington to a, you know, he wasn't able to break free for, you know, the kind of huge plays he usually makes. But Armani was able to beat them. They got huge running alleys on pass plays. He was able to pull the ball down, and he ran for 180 yards. So there's advantages and disadvantages. I think in terms of our team's going to force Armani Rogers to beat them through the air now, that's been the game plan since last year. Like, that's what teams have been doing all along. I don't think it gets any worse or any more extreme after a game like he had at Arkansas State. I think you're going to see probably the same defense. I don't think any opponents are going to watch that tape and alter their game plan in any dramatic way. It may be, you know, certain specific things like, oh, let's cover this play in a different way. But I don't think you're going to see any huge philosophical shifts. That's sort of been the book on Armani, and it's been the book on UNLV for over a year now.
Broke down a lot of the offensive players, but we can switch to be a little bit more positive. Like you said, the defense has been better than expected. Who are those guys on defense that have stood out to you and are guys to look forward to carrying the Rebels as we move on in the season?
Well, the biggest guy for me, I wrote about it last week, was Gabe McCoy, who was he's undersized for linebacker. He's, you know, safety, linebacker. Where do you play him? Defensive end in high school. He's about 215 pounds, so he's kind of small for an outside linebacker in a 3-4 sort of alignment. But UNLV has put him at linebacker. They're playing him on the line of scrimmage this year. They're turning him loose on the quarterback. He picked up another sack at Arkansas State, so he's got 2 sacks. He's got, I think, 8 tackles for loss, which would have led the team last year, and he's already eclipsed that total. So he's a guy that's making plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's been a playmaker, and that's something UNLV has lacked in recent years, someone who can just use speed or athleticism to make something happen that isn't planned or isn't schemed. And he's been the guy that has stood out the most to me thus far, and I think a lot of credit goes to Tim Skipper, the defensive coordinator, who has recognized his skill set and got him up on the line of scrimmage and sort of giving him the freedom to just, hey, you're fast, you're athletic, run around this tackle, get into the backfield. If it's a running play, chase down the running back. If it's a pass play, you know, try to get around the edge and go after the quarterback. They send him on blitzes as well. I think he's been the main guy, really, that they've taken advantage of, and he has responded through the first four games with some really good play.
All right, so like we said, no game this week. We'll be back next week to speak more in depth on the New Mexico matchup. Until then, Brewer, you've been a little bit toned down this time. I know it's hard with how the Rebels played, but I'll give you the final word. What's on your mind with UNLV as we go into a couple weeks without a game?
You know, I think you guys agree that UNLV's improved. They're improved from this time last year. They're improved from when Tony took over the program. But eventually those improvements are going to have to lead to wins. You're 2-2, which is pretty much what everybody thought you'd be going into league play. This run in league play has to be something special because it's time to go.
Yep, tougher schedule last year, but if you do remember, they started 0-3 in league play, and that's when everyone was officially off the bandwagon. No one was paying attention. I still think there's going to be some eyes on this New Mexico game, and I don't think by any means – you can't salvage some excitement in this season if you win that one, and even if you have a good showing at Utah State. So it will be interesting. We'll be back to talk about the Rebels next week. For Ray and Mike, thanks for listening. I'm Case.